Well, you know, watching the Texans, they've been very impressive all the way around. So they've got a great record. Playing well, offensively, defensively, in the kicking game. They're very consistent team, but also a very explosive team. They can make a big play on any play. Strip sacks, batted balls, long run, long passes, returns. So, you know, it's a game where everybody's really going to have to do a good job on every play. And nothing safe with these guys. They really make you, you know, earn everything. You got to tackle them. You got to block them. You got to get open. You got to. They don't give much away. You got to really work hard for everything you get, and so that'll be a big challenge for us this week.
So, just wondering, now that you've clinched the AFC East, do you kind of turn your attention to what's going on in the AFC as a whole?
No, we're on Houston. Just trying to get ready for Houston.
With the important, assuming you lend some importance to home field advantage and first round buys, why wouldn't you keep an eye on what's going on and everyone else?
We can't do anything about anybody else. All we can do anything about is the New England Patriots. So try to just concentrate on what we have to do, and it'll all get sorted out in the end. But you know, we got a lot. Still got a quarter of the season left to play. We got a lot of football left, and we need to, you know, keep working on the things we need to work on, and not worry about anybody else.
Bill, how would you define the importance of playing at Gillette Stadium? You know, obviously everyone always tries to figure out, well, what makes up a home field advantage? Why do teams play better at home? Why do you think that home field in the NFL seems to make such a big difference, especially in the playoffs?
I don't know. I think, you know, obviously the teams that have the home field advantage are the best teams, at least record-wise. So I think that has a lot to do with it. I think winning games has a lot more to do with how well you play than where you play them. Not that it isn't nice to be at home and all that, but it's a lot better to play well. I don't think I'll be able to help this too much against Arizona. So we didn't play well. It's not anybody fault thrown. We just didn't hope we didn't do a good enough job as players and coaches to win the game. So.
Bill, if it's okay, maybe a two-part question on J.J. Watt. You know, I know you typically think of, or a lot of people think of a 3-4 defensive end, and you don't necessarily associate, you know, big sack totals or big statistical production because they're often asked to do things, you know, creating space for linebackers, et cetera. But, I mean, this guy's already got, you know, 15 and a half sacks. Does that just speak to, you know, his dominance really as a player?
Yeah, you know, he's a really good player, and you know, I think Houston's, even though they're a 3-4 base, they're really an under team in the regular defense, so more of a one-gap team. And so he's 5 technique a lot, and then when they go to sub, then he's an inside rusher, and they're in sub a lot. They're probably in sub more than they're in base, so, you know, I mean, he certainly makes a lot of plays in a 3-4 defense. He's got, you know, excellent quickness, and he's long. So he, you know, he does a good job of rushing against everybody, the tackle, the guard, and he's very effective on games because of his speed, quickness, and his length and his instincts. But he also plays, you know, in a lot of sub defenses because they're in so much sub where, you know, he's working on guards or, you know, occasionally on the center. Of course, they've won a lot of games. They've been ahead a lot, so. They've been in a lot of passing situations. I'm sure those things have all, you know, created more opportunities. But, I mean, not taking anything away from him. He's a tremendous player, and he's had a lot of opportunities, and he's been very productive.
Just to follow up on that, you mentioned sort of them being ahead and he's having to throw the ball. I mean, the guy's got his hands on 15 throws already. Is that something that you notice he does maybe better than the average defensive lineman? Is it probably attributable to, you know, his length and his instincts and other skills?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that's a career number for a lot of defensive linemen. 15 in one season. It's remarkable, really. And of course, he's long and he's athletic, but he does have great instincts to get in the passing lane. And so he's getting to the quarterback and knocking him down. That's one thing. And if he's not, if he's getting double teamed or slide comes to him or something like that, he's also been very disruptive, not only knockdown balls, but something as a result of interceptions. Like in the Miami game, the opening game, that was a big play that turned things around right before the half. That he's able to, you know, get his hands on balls and be disruptive that way. So he's really, and he does a great job in the running game too. He's really quick. He can slip single blocks and run plays down from behind. Truly a complete player who does everything well. But yeah, that number of batted balls is an extremely high number. Very disruptive.
I'm off base on this one, Bill, but obviously every team wants to collect good talent and have you know, good players from 1 to 53. But it seems like on both sides of the ball, but I'll look at the offensive side, Houston's got a number of guys that really fit what they do well, whether it's Arian Foster being a really, you know, a strong fit in the zone blocking scheme, or a guy like Dwayne Brown, you know, the left tackle, he's so athletic and can move. And it seems like they found guys that not only are good players, but really fit what they do well. Does that sort of, do you see that aligning at all, or am I overthinking this one?
No, I think that's accurate, but I think, you know, you could say that really about a lot of teams. You know, they have a certain scheme and they try to bring players in that fit that scheme, but sure, Foster does a great job on the downhill runs and in the zone play. And Dwayne Brown is a very good left tackle. He's one of the best guys we've faced. I don't think really he's given up anything all year in the passing game. And he's a good run blocker. He's good at the point of attack. He's quick and does a good job on the backside cutoff blocks as well. So those two guys in particular are very good for their offensive system. Brown, because he's very good left tackle, but he's really athletic and helps them in their running game. You know, similar to Clady, but he did for Denver when Mike was out there. Same type of, you know, athlete that can pass protect, but it's also a real good and quick run block. This guy's really a good player, though. This Dwayne Brown, he's good left tackle, one of the better ones we faced.
Hi, Bill. I also wanted to ask you about the Texans' offense. Their balance seems pretty apparent, but what do they do that makes it so difficult for defenses to have success against? And what can a defense do to try to have success against these Texans?
Well, they're very well coached, and they have a lot of good players, so that's a pretty good combination. They run the ball well, as they always have with Coach Kubiak. They've got good backs, so they definitely make you respect the run and play the run. And you better play it well, or they can get a lot of yards in a hurry. They combine their play-action passes with the running game, and they hit a lot of big plays on that, bootlegs, play-actions. You know, they've got a couple big receivers there with Walter and, of course, Andre Johnson. And their tight ends are also good in the passing game, Casey and Owen Daniels. And so they, you know, catch a lot of balls too, and on play action, bootlegs, over routes, flat routes, things that complement their running game. And then on third down, they again are a good quarterback. They've got good receivers, big receivers, and they got tight ends and a running back. The running back's still a threat to run the ball. And you know, you got a lot of people to cover, so you're trying to defend pretty much everything all the time. And that's tough. They have great balance, and I think they work hard at that. They, once they kind of get a little heavy on one thing or another, and whether it be during the game or in a breakdown, you know, you can see it's starting to, the tendency starting to form, then they do a real good job breaking those tendencies, and they really never let them get too far out of whack. So you're always looking at pretty good balance with them offensively, and they, like I said, I think they really are conscious of that. They work at it, and they make you defend the inside runs, the outside runs, the short passes, the long passes, the play-action passes, screens, vertical routes, crossing routes, They have a good mixture of all those things, and they do them well, and they have a lot of good players.
Good afternoon, Bill. I just want to follow up on the J.J. Watt questions that Field asked, and just going back to the draft last year, did you envision this type of production from him based on the work you and your scouts did on him coming out of Wisconsin?
Well, you know, I don't think he had the opportunity to do some of the things that he's had the opportunity to do in the National Football League. I mean, he was a productive player in college, but a little raw, a little underdeveloped in terms of his overall football experience. But obviously, as he's gained that, he's really grown with it, and he's become very adept and proficient at a number of different things and techniques. But so his athletic ability and his ability to be a better technique player, to recognize things, to play instinctively, and all that has grown. It's grown quickly. That's been very impressive. He's taken all the athletic ability that he has, and he's really played with it to a very high level.
Hi, Bill. Was Dante Stallworth one of the tougher cuts during training camp? And anticipating an announcement later, what do you anticipate he will provide for your offense?
Well, there's no announcement that has been made, so I mean, I really don't have any comment on that. You know, a lot of cuts in training camp are hard. It's those guys come in, they work hard, they're competitive on our team. They're competitive against competition, and a group of players that you have to, you know, release from your roster is always tough because everybody has something that they contribute, something that they do well, and the guys that you keep, they have things that they do well, and, you know, but make them competitive for a roster spot too. So, yeah, it's a real competitive league, and there's a lot of good players out there, and it's always tough.
Bill, I was wondering if you just speak about the contributions Julian Edelman has made to the team this season, and I guess especially in the on special teams with his ability as a punt returner.
Well, Julian's, you know, had an opportunity to contribute offensively and in the kicking game. You know, in the games that he's been able to play in, I missed a few there after the Baltimore game. You know, in the kicking game, he's done a good job for us as a returner. He's also done a good job for us on kickoff coverage, and you know, he's helped us there in the last few weeks. Not just the Jets play that kind of popped to him, but, you know, by making a number of tackles and doing a good job containing the ball and that kind of thing. You know, and then offensively, he's done a good job with the ball in his hands, you know, on screens and, you know, routes where he can run it, you know, reverses and screens and things like that. You know, he had a big play in the Jet game, and we had him down the middle there on the kind of the trap coverage there that the Jets missed, but, you know, he's worked hard. Julian's a solid guy. Works hard. Very good condition. Athlete. And he's versatile. And he's done a number of different things for him.